Hello and welcome to another broadcast of Transforming Grace. This is a ministry of the Institute for Biblical Preaching in Canada. My name is Roger Pascoe and it's a pleasure to be your teacher each week on this program. We're studying the Bible to see what God has to say about who He is and who we are and how we can have a right relationship with Him by His grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Those of you who have been listening to us now for the last couple of years will know that we have been studying the Gospel of John together, and this message today is the last message in the Gospel of John. After this message, we're going to go on to a different subject for our studies each week, but today I want to complete our study in John by turning to John's Gospel chapter 16. As I reviewed all of the messages on John's Gospel that we've studied together over the last couple of years, I noticed that John chapter 16 is one chapter about which I have not commented at all. Those of you who have been with us will remember that I haven't studied the Gospel chapter by chapter and verse by verse, but by sections. We studied the miracles of Jesus. We've studied the I Am statements of Jesus. We've studied the great discourses or conversations that Jesus had in John's Gospel. And then after we finished all of that, I came back and started to fill in some of the gaps in some of the chapters that we had not discussed before. And the last one that I want to go to with you today is John chapter 16. Now, I can't cover the whole chapter in this message, but I'm just going to cover verses 5 through 15 just to give you a sense for what Jesus is teaching there about the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says a lot about the Holy Spirit in John's Gospel, and this chapter brings before us a wonderful consolidated teaching about the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, if we went to all of Scripture, of course, we'd have a huge topic on our hands to discuss who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does. But today I want to just restrict our study to these verses in John chapter 16. Now, before we begin, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for all of those who are listening, for all of those particularly who have faithfully listened through the last couple of years that we have been together. I thank you for the privilege of studying your word with these folks from week to week, and I pray that today, as we study it again, that you will bless it to our hearts and our minds. I pray that the Holy Spirit would become precious to us as we study these verses together about his work. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, starting in the 15th chapter, around verse 26, Jesus begins to introduce this topic of the Helper, as he refers to him in verse 26, or sometimes we would refer to him as the Comforter, the Helper or the Comforter. But when the Helper or Comforter comes, Jesus says in chapter 15, verse 26, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So here Jesus is beginning to introduce the work of the Holy Spirit with respect to, first of all, his comfort that he brings. He is the one who draws alongside of us. The fact that he will come from the Father and that he will testify of Jesus. Now, when we come into chapter 16, we find out more about the Holy Spirit. Go down to verse 5, and I'm going to read down to verse 15 of chapter 16. John chapter 16, then, beginning at verse 5. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now you'll remember that beginning in chapter 14, Jesus began to tell his disciples that he was going away. Now he had predicted his death before, but now he specifically says, for example, in the 13th chapter in verse 36, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. And then coming into chapter 14 and verse 1, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, keep on believing in me. Well, undoubtedly the disciples' hearts were troubled when they realized that Jesus was going away. And now, as we come to our chapter, Jesus raises that issue again. Now I go away to him who sent me. Throughout John's Gospel, Jesus is presented as the one who was sent from the Father. He is the one who came into the world to reveal the Father to us. In other words, Jesus came into the world so that we could know what God is really like. It's very hard for us, isn't it, to deal with descriptions of someone that we've never seen, never heard, never been able to touch. But the disciples, you see, and the apostles were able to touch Jesus. They were able to listen to his teachings. They could see him, and they are the eyewitness testimony to us of who Jesus is. Well, similarly, Jesus is the eyewitness, if you will, or the living testimony of who God is. God the Father is the one who sent him into the world. Jesus came to make God known to us. And so the clearest representation we have of God the Father is in Jesus the Son. Now I go away to him who sent me. So Jesus came into the world from the Father. He accomplished the work that God gave him to do, which ended at the cross, you see. That was the fulfillment of the plan of redemption. That was the completion of the work that Jesus came to do, the work that God had sent him into the world to do, revealing God to us, and most importantly, revealing God's plan of redemption for us. Jesus went to the cross, and of course, we know that he rose again and ascended back to the Father. And that is what Jesus is speaking about here. Now I go away to him who sent me. And in that phrase, going away, what he is including there is his death, his resurrection, and his ascension back to the Father. I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Well, we learned that in chapter 14, that their hearts were troubled, their hearts were filled with sorrow. We can understand why, can't we? They had followed Jesus. They had given up everything to follow him. They'd given up their businesses and their occupations, and they had faithfully walked with him and carried out his commandments for these 3 or 3.5 years. And now they find out that he's going away. Well, that wasn't what they expected. They expected him to establish his kingdom here on earth. They expected him to overcome all of their enemies, in particular the Roman government who so oppressed them. But now he says, no, I'm going back to the one who sent me, and sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. Well, why is it to their advantage and our advantage that Jesus go away? Well, evidently, if Jesus had not gone back to heaven, then the Holy Spirit would not have been sent to us. And the coming of the Holy Spirit is so important, isn't it? Because we know that the Holy Spirit indwells us, and the Holy Spirit carries out certain functions, not only for us as believers, but also in the world. And so he says, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So you see the direct relationship between Jesus going back to heaven and the Holy Spirit coming to earth. So that the absence, if you will, of Jesus is replaced by the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus goes back to heaven. He sends the Holy Spirit, the one who would draw alongside us and the one who would work in the world during Jesus' absence. So that brings great comfort to us, doesn't it, as well as it must have to the disciples, that even though Jesus is not here any longer, even though he's gone back to heaven, he has sent the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, to carry out certain functions on our in our lives and in the world in general. So then the first important function of the Holy Spirit is bringing us comfort. And for these disciples, that was what Jesus wanted them to know, that he was not leaving them without any resources. He was not leaving them in their sadness and in their sorrow. He wasn't leaving them to live lives of trouble and fear, but rather he would send them the Holy Spirit to comfort them. Isn't that a wonderful provision of Jesus for his own, that he did not leave us comfortless, but rather when he went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit who indwells us and seals us so that we cannot slip away. We are sealed, we are kept for the day of redemption. And the Holy Spirit does that. And the Holy Spirit does many other things that we don't have the time to study today. But the one thing that Jesus is reminding us here of is this function of comfort that the Holy Spirit brings during Jesus' absence. You see, the original word for the Holy Spirit is comforter. And how much we need that comfort, for otherwise we would feel alone, wouldn't we? We would be left here to, with Jesus gone away, and perhaps we would try to rely on our own resources, or we would look to other people. But Jesus says, no, I'm not going to leave you that way. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to be your comforter. Well, we live in a world where we need comfort, don't we? There's so much to discourage us, so much around us to trouble us and cause us to fear. But God has sent his Holy Spirit to comfort us, to bring us encouragement, to speak words of wisdom to us, words of direction, words of guidance, words of help as we seek to live for him in this sinful and fallen world. So the first thing then that Jesus teaches us about the work of the Holy Spirit is that he comforts us. Now notice secondly that the Holy Spirit convicts the world. He comforts us, but he convicts the world. Look at verse 8, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So, having taken up his residence in us, the Holy Spirit now also works in the world in the role of convicting the world. In other words, he will publicly expose the world's guilt and call the world to repentance. Now, this takes place, of course, in many ways, but one of the ways that the Holy Spirit works is through our testimony, through our proclamation of the gospel, through our witnessing to others about the need for salvation and the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. And the Holy Spirit takes those words, the words that we speak from the Word of God, and he uses them in power to convict those who hear. And so he exposes their guilt and calls them to repentance. You see, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to convict someone of their sin, that their need of the Savior, and to draw them to repentance and to saving faith in Jesus Christ. So you see how important it is for us to explain the gospel, to preach the word of God faithfully, to witness to others, and in so doing the Holy Spirit will take that and will expose to unbelievers their sin and where they stand before God and their guiltiness and their need for a Savior. And in doing so, the Holy Spirit draws those whom God has chosen to Himself to be saved. He awakens in them the consciousness of their guilt and leads them to true repentance. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, to convict of sin and to convict people that they are sinners and they need a Savior, and to draw them to repentance and to place their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, we can't save anybody. Isn't that wonderful to know that? That we can't save anybody, but God through the Holy Spirit saves people. And one of the means by which He saves people is through our testimony, our telling others of the gospel and the saving work of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit then convicting those who hear to give them the realization that they really are sinners, that there really is a God, that they really do need to live in right relationship with Him. And the Holy Spirit opens up their understanding, softens their heart, and draws them in saving faith to the Lord Jesus. And when they come to Him, there they find forgiveness, mercy, and peace, and joy. That's the result of conversion, isn't it? The peace of God fills our hearts, that peace which passes all understanding. The joy of the Lord becomes our strength. We rejoice in forgiveness and the mercy of God, because we no longer look to the judgment of God, but to the completion of our salvation when the Lord Jesus comes and takes us to heaven. Not only does the Holy Spirit convict the world of sin, but He convicts the world of righteousness. You see, the world put to death the only righteous man that ever walked this earth. They put Him to death, and they called Him unrighteous. They accused Him falsely and crucified Him. Well, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of what true righteousness is, that Jesus is the righteous one. He is the one who is accepted by the Father. The Father raised Him from the dead because He accepted His sacrifice on Calvary's cross. He is not unrighteous. He was not worthy of death. He had done nothing wrong. He had no sin in Him. And the Holy Spirit will convict the world of what true righteousness is, as it is personified particularly in the Lord Jesus Himself. He is the righteous one. We are the unrighteous. And the Bible tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, He made Him to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. In other words, the righteousness of Jesus was passed over to us, and He took our sins. He bore the penalty on the cross, and as a result, through faith in Him, we become righteous before God. Well, the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts the world of righteousness, and He will convict the world with respect to judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. At the cross, Jesus overcame Satan, the one who had the power of death. The battle was won. The accuser was overcome when Jesus rose from the dead. The judgment and condemnation of the devil was finalized there at the cross. And all that is we are waiting for now is for that final day when Satan will be cast into the lake of fire, that place which was prepared for him and for his angels. Well, the judgment that is passed upon Satan himself is the same judgment that will be passed upon those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts them of this coming judgment. The judgment that has been pronounced upon Satan himself is the judgment that will be pronounced upon all of those who follow Satan. And at that final judgment, the Lord Jesus will say to those who have rejected Him, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Well, let's move on then to verse 13, where we learn the third function of the Holy Spirit as it's set out for us in this paragraph. The first one is comforting us and the disciples. The second is convicting the world. The third is teaching the truth. And the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches believers the truth of God's Word. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Well, our ability to understand the Word comes from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is spoken of here as the Spirit of truth. Jesus Himself spoke about Himself as the truth. We also read that the Word of God is the truth, and the truth sets us free. So you see, it's all tied together here. And the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, when He has come, and He has already come, He guides us into all truth. So as we study the Word together, it is the Spirit of God that opens up our understanding, that enables us to see the truth of the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God that shows to us those things that are not true, that are all around us, that people are teaching about the Bible and about God and about Jesus that are not true, that spirit of error that is in the world. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the sense in our own spirits that things that we hear are not true. By the same token, it's the Holy Spirit of truth who enables us to understand truth from the Word, to make it our own, and to be able to live in the good of that truth. He will guide you into all truth. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, "You have an anointing from the Holy One," that is the Holy Spirit, "and you know all things." And in verse 27, it says, "The anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you." Now, that's not saying that we don't need teachers and we don't need books and so forth, but rather what it's saying there in the context of that passage is that the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to be able to discern between truth and error. That's how we know what is true and what is wrong. We don't need anyone to tell us the errors that are being taught all around us in different places around the world by false teachers. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the sense, this is true and that is not true. And it's not just a sense, but it is the teaching of the Word that He helps us to understand, so that we grasp the truth of the Word and we know in our souls what is true and what is not true, and we're able to separate out the things that are in error and the things that are true. So firstly, the work of the Holy Spirit is to comfort us, to convict the world, to teach us the truth, and then fourthly, to glorify Jesus in verse 14. "He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you." That's how the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus, by taking the things of Christ, the truth concerning Christ, and declaring it to us. That's how we understand the truth about Jesus. It's through the Holy Spirit declaring that truth to us, teaching us the truth, helping us to grasp the truth, helping us to discern between truth and error, and to know the truth as it is in Jesus. Well, that's just a very quick survey of this passage in John 16. There's so much more that we could say, and I hope that you'll go back and reread it and study it for yourself, and that you'll perhaps make an even larger study of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. It's so important for us as believers to understand the role of the Holy Spirit and who He is, that He is God, that He is the one who indwells us and has sealed our redemption to us so that it cannot be taken away from us. He is the one that leads us on in the truth and teaches us the truth concerning God and His Word and the Lord Jesus. He is the one who preserves us, and He is the one also who is working in the world, drawing others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, I hope that this very short study has been helpful to you. That concludes our studies of John's Gospel. Next time we're going to start another series together, and I hope that you'll be with me to do that. I think that we're going to turn to the Old Testament and look at some of the great characters that we read about in the Old Testament. There's so much there for us to learn from. I hope that this series in John's Gospel has been a help to you. I would like to hear from you. If you could possibly write a note to me at your radio station where you listen to this program, I would appreciate hearing from you and listening to what you have to say about these radio broadcasts. Our grace verse for today is taken from 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. May God bless you until we're together again the next time on this broadcast.